Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Big Move podcast. I am your host, Em Roberts, from the blog The Lipstick Fever, and today's guest is Bonnie Takkar. She is currently the founder and CEO of Let's Bab, which is a digital mall and e-commerce platform where you can shop and share what you love. She has a highly impressive career background as a seasoned fashion executive and has held a number of high-ranking positions at companies including Donna Karan, Earl Jeans, Jimmy Choo, Halston, and was most recently the president and CEO of Charlotte Olympia. Bonnie, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you too. We're sitting here in your WeWork space.
Which is pretty amazing.
London, which is like lovely and a great part of town too. It was like very hustle and bustle over here.
Absolutely. In the center of Victoria.
Yeah. So thanks for taking the time today.
Absolutely.
Excited to chat with you. So you and I met through your company, which we're going to get into that and hear more about. But first, I think we'll just kick it off with a couple icebreaker questions. So I always like to ask my guests the first one, which is, what are the first three things that you do when you wake up in the morning?
Okay, so I get up very early in the morning because I'm a mom, and I make myself a cup of tea.
Very British of you.
Very British of me. And then I check all my important channels of information, watch the news, and then I actually meditate for 10 minutes and I work out.
Love that. So meditate for 10 minutes. Where do you usually do your workout? Do you go take a class or do you belong to like a gym nearby?
Yeah, no, I take a class. I do boxing and Pilates and running, depending on how I'm feeling that
day.
Okay,
I'm with you. I'm back on the boxing trend. I just feel like it's the best workout and it gets me like that high energy like jolt that I need in the morning. Yeah, I'm like back on the boxing grind.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're going to seize the day.
Yeah, it makes you feel like you're going to like kick someone's ass. It's actually like pretty awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Second icebreaker question. What is your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Right. So I do like to drink alcohol, I'm pleased to say.
I know, I always include this question and I'm sure there will be a guest someday that's like, I actually don't drink.
I know.
Which is so fair.
I do drink and I actually drink vodka.
Okay, cool.
Vodka with soda is my favorite drink with actually freshly squeezed lemon juice.
Okay.
Because it actually adds some flavor.
Yeah,
to the whole thing. So yeah, that's what I like to drink.
Okay, keep it simple. I like that. So I want to get into your background. Like, you've lived literally all over. So when you and I originally met, you like named all the cities you've lived in and it kind of like blew my mind. But where are you from originally and where did you grow up?
So I'm Indian originally. Both my parents were born in India. I was born in England. And growing up, I spent time in India. I went to school there. I came back to London, and I have been all over the place since then. London is my base, but I tend to sort of go to different countries. I've lived in Singapore, I've lived in Bombay, I've lived in New York 3 times, but I always spring board back to London.
You always end up coming back.
Yeah.
How long were you in New York for?
So I've lived in New York 3 times. I'm going to be giving away my age now, but I've lived in New York 3 times in my 20s and my 30s and my early 40s.
Okay. And like out of the places that you've lived in, has there been a city that's like been most enjoyable to live in? Is it London or is it somewhere else?
I think Bombay, or now known as Mumbai, is a pretty awesome city. I wasn't there for long. I was actually working with MTV at the time. And that was really good fun. I was young. I was working for MTV. And we were traveling all over Asia.
Yeah.
It was really exciting. Yeah. And I really loved it as a city.
Cool. I've literally never been to India. Like, what did you love most about Mumbai in particular?
Well, you know, I think that Indians in general have an amazing joie de vivre. And they live every day like it's their last. And yeah. When you do that, it's you're going to have very high energy.
Yeah.
And the food, I love the food. And
The Indian food is so good.
Yeah.
We get so much of that here in London, which is so awesome, which I've never experienced. I think that London does it a lot better than New York.
Yeah, I had a couple of favorite places in New York.
Yeah. And, okay, cool.
But yeah, absolutely right. London does it a lot better, but India does it even better.
I'm sure. Need to add that to my like foodie destination list. Okay, so in contrast, has there been a city that's like been maybe more difficult to live in for any particular reason?
Do you know, I found LA quite difficult to live in because it's so big. And you have to drive everywhere. And if you like to have a little vodka once in a while, that it's, you know, it doesn't work together.
It hinders.
So it hinders your social activities.
Sure.
And it's quite vast. I found that. And also because of I loved it as a place. I mean, I love the people there. I love the sunshine there. But I just found it really difficult to navigate and to communicate because at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the rest of the world is asleep.
Yeah. That's fair. That's so fair. It is. It's tough. It's like going back, especially coming from London and then you were in New York too. So similar to me, it's like getting in the car again and having to drive so far. I can't really imagine. I love the West Coast so much, but yeah, I completely hear you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I would say. But I did love the sunshine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's like the best weather. I have family in Santa Barbara and it's probably like the dream to live there, I feel like. Maybe retiring. We'll see.
Nice. Nice.
But back to London, like what are the things that you love most about London life?
Do you know, I think London is it is also a city that's sort of spread out, but it's very easy to navigate. It has a tube system that's, you know, fairly easy to use and it's easy to get around. It's a lot of parks. And when you're a mum, it's really nice to have the greenery around you. And of course, as I said at the beginning, I love tea. And sort of, you know, this is the heaven of tea. Totally. But it's just, those are the things that are very close to my heart. Being able to go to parks easily with my son and just sort of the culture. And it's actually a very clean city.
It's so clean.
It's a really, really clean city and just really easy to navigate.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. That's like one of the biggest things that I notice when I go back to New York is, I have to say, London, it's like pristine in comparison.
Yeah.
Especially lately, New York, I feel like there's like a lot of construction. It's like chaotic as ever, but
I mean, London has its parts as well. And
sure.
I think the similarities between New York and London there are a lot. You know, there's great theater. There's a lot of things to do. I also love to dance.
Oh, what kind of dance?
Oh, any, you know, just dance.
Just like dance in general.
Yeah, so I like to dance. And so both New York and London have great dance places.
Wait, so where do you go in London? I have to know.
So I, you know, here it's a little like, these days it's a bit challenging. I'll probably go to parties or friends' house and you know, that we'll dance there.
Yeah.
But like, as I was like, I remember in New York, there was an amazing place called Christie 206 and there was the Box. And here we go to the Box as well. You know,
I love that you go to the Box. Yeah, that's amazing.
Why not? I mean, you know, I if you love to dance, you've got to go to the Box.
So tell me a little bit more about the Box. So I've only been, but it was for an event. It was like quite tame because it was like early evening. I hear it's pretty mad, like a late night.
Yeah. I mean, if you stay beyond 1 o'clock, it gets pretty interesting. But you know, the music is fantastic and they have outrageous acts.
Sure.
And it's, you know, it just opens the mind a little bit and you're dancing. You don't, you know, it's a great theatrical performance.
Sure.
But I think most people actually go there because the music is very current and if you go with a good group of people, you can have a great time.
Yeah, I love that. So do you typically go with like a group of girlfriends?
Yeah, I'll go with a group of girlfriends and we'll put on our, metaphorically speaking, jeans and t-shirts and just go and dance the night away.
I love it. That's like such an amazing fun fact. Okay. I love it. Okay, so we'll shift gears a little bit. Yep. I want to talk about your career, which you have like just such an impressive sort of background. How did you started off in apparel and shoes. So how did you kind of get your original start there?
So actually, you know, in the very early days, I did some work in business development at CNN and MTV. And CNN was still known as the Chicken Noodle Network because nobody believed that 24-hour news would ever work. And so my training was in business development. And then off from there, I went into Donna Karan, again, applying for positions in business development. I was based in New York and we were expanding the business internationally. And I worked for, at the time, the VP of International. And we were developing those businesses across all countries. In terms of like getting, you know, the break, so to speak, because I think everyone does, it's a very competitive marketplace. When I worked in TV, I think my language skills were my sort of break, if you will, because sure. At the time, CNN and MTV were trying to expand into Southeast Asia and they needed somebody who spoke Hindi. So, that was, I think, the point of differential for me. And that was how I got into those organizations. And then very quickly developed my business development skills. They then sort of catapulted me into the fashion industry. And then my real training ground was Donna Karan. I worked with an amazing woman there called Bridget Klein. And she taught us everything we know. And then from there, I just kept developing the skill sets.
Wow, that's really impressive. And so speaking these other languages really helped you, it sounds like. So you obviously speak fluent English. And then do you speak any other languages?
No, I just speak Hindi. I always used to wonder when it would come into handy.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And it really did. And I actually have to say it did give me my break.
Yeah, that's really cool. So you've held so many leadership roles. And in particular, that's one of the things I noticed right away from your resume. So are there like some traits that you think that someone would need to be successful in a leadership role?
I think in order to get into these leadership roles, you need to obviously ensure that you're reinforcing your skill sets along the way. But at the same time, it's incredibly important to take certain risks in your career because it's when you take those risks, some work out, some don't work out, it trains you. It trains you in being able to manage a leadership role in which you require, excellent risk analysis skills and vision of understanding when when certain things are going well and not going well.
Sure.
And then, you know, communication skills as well are very, very important. And I would say very important is listening.
Listening, yeah, absolutely. That makes so much sense. And I feel like you kind of answered my next question, which was like, you know, for someone like trying to climb the corporate ladder, would those be your biggest tips, is like communication, listening?
Yeah, I think as in a leadership role, you know, we training and resume, all of those foundations are critically important. But what really differentiates people from the ones that are really, you identify as people who are going to make it, you know, through the glass ceiling or the next step, however you want to describe it, are the people that make themselves indispensable, not in the sense that they are just willing to do everything and work long hours. They just are very engaged in what they do. They have a can-do attitude and they never say that this is outside of my job description.
Sure.
And it's a mindset. And that's what differentiates people who actually get up the ladder versus people who might have stellar resumes and have, you know, a decent amount of experience. But because I've been in the entrepreneurial world all my life, what really differentiates people are the people who really embrace what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you must see that, especially now with like building your company, which is a startup. I'm sure that's hugely important in your culture because as a startup and someone who works for one, you need to have that can-do attitude of like, I can take anything on. I'm going to like shift from helping in one area to like something else really quickly.
And I would say that whilst some of the other brands that I have been a part of on the business side are now household names, I actually started in those brands very early on, early stages, very, very early stages. So project after project, I've had to develop the skill set in being able to identify a experienced skill person who is actually still going to be willing to multitask and, you know, embrace the next project that we're working on. And that's what really makes the difference.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And then in being in sort of a startup culture, a corporate culture, sort of across the board, I'm sure you've encountered a lot of high stress situations. Has there been like one in particular that like stands out for you? And do you have like tips for handling a really stressful sort of situation in your job?
I think that, you know, I think someone once told me, I'm sure it's accurate, but there's 147 steps from the designer's head to a customer buying a pair of shoes. And all those 147 steps can go wrong every single minute of every single day.
Wow.
So, you know, whether it's that the collections are running on time or not, or deliveries are running on time or not, or we've got some a marketing initiative with a retailer that needs to be launched at the right time, at the right moment. So many things can happen. But I think, and they do happen every single day. What's really important is to, it sounds like a cliche, and it's hard when your heart is pumping and the blood is racing, to actually try and keep your mind stable so that you can actually think through those problems and what to do next. And that also comes with a ton of experience.
Sure.
Being able to, and even today I come across problems and issues that I haven't faced before. And, you know, I have to keep my mind very grounded and really stable to try and figure out what the next immediate move is.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurship is that. And all of the businesses that I've been in were started by great entrepreneurs, you know, whether it was Tamara Mellon or Charlotte Delisle, or and always face these issues and problems. And you just have to make sure that you have a level head.
Sure.
And the meditation in the morning definitely helps.
Yeah, honestly, that's probably so, so key. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's like, because you have such a calm demeanor. And I think when you remain that way in like stressful situations, then in turn, everyone else around you kind of reacts to you.
Yeah.
I always look to my husband. He works in finance, and obviously his job is incredibly fast moving and stressful, especially like during the market hours. So yeah, I always go to him when I'm in like a high stress situation, because he's just so calm and level headed. Yeah. But it just, it really comes in handy. I feel like you have that kind of down. So when we first met, you were like, oh, like, so my big move is like moving from shoes to tech, which I love. So how did this sort of like come about for you? What was that maybe transition like in your career?
So it's not an obvious move to go from shoes to tech, but about around 10 years ago, I had a break in my career, and I had my son, and being someone who always loves to do stuff, I was thinking to myself, what could I do? You know, what am I really good at? And I'm really good at like distributing and, you know, sharing things, etc., and marketing things. Wouldn't it be great if I could create a platform, which was the digitization of word of mouth? So at the time, the tech didn't exist, and I parked the idea, fast forward, and I came to Charlotte Olympia and built that business, and also realized that, you know, brands were very willing to share and give, you know, and reward people for their influence and pay them for it. And after we sold Charlotte's business, it seemed like the perfect timing, you know, to bring Let's Bab, which is a platform where you can shop for yourself, share products with your friends and family, and actually earn cash. And knowing that brands were also willing to give back to their customers, it seemed a perfect time to bring the digitization of word of mouth to get, together with, you know, influence being rewarded. And it was a transition, an overwhelming transition, I would say, because it's not something, you know, people say, yeah, you know, I made that. It was, you know, I went from A to B. But in reality, despite all the experience you have, you ask yourself a lot of questions. You know, am I going to be able to do this? What is my skill set? I need to put a team together. I need to understand how tech, you know, how I'm going to execute on the tech side. So I went through that journey.
Sure. And again, you came up with the idea when you were on maternity leave, right?
Yes, I did.
So what did that look like? You, I mean, obviously you had time on maternity leave. You were getting ready to have a child, and your son is now 9, right?
Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
So what was that like? I can just like envision you. I have a vision of you sitting on your couch, like pregnant, like thinking about, you know, this company that you're going to start.
Yeah. I mean, you know, speaking directly from the heart, I was at home thinking, what am I going to do during this period? Yeah. You know, I've been used to these very sort of fast-paced businesses. And now I'm very happy to be at home spending time with my son. But I really wanted, what can I do? What can I do from home that's going to make sense? And so I really did think, you know, I was inspired by the Avon ladies and the Tupperware parties. And I thought, wouldn't it be amazing if I could bring a digital platform together? That wasn't just about one or two brands. It was about all the brands in the world, household names from, you know, Mothercare to Body Shop to Glossier to everyone in one platform, and everyone can share things with each other. And that's exactly what we did.
Sure.
I don't say I did it because it takes a team to bring things to life.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you share with the audience how the name came about? Because I think it's a really, really interesting sort of play on words.
Sure. So Let's Bab, a lot of people interpret it as Let's Babble, which is absolutely fine. But the story behind it is that when I was on maternity leave, I felt in a sense, you know, as all mothers listening to this probably did at some point, whether it's during pregnancy or post-pregnancy, at some moment in that journey, you feel slightly isolated. And I did also feel isolated. And I felt like I wanted to be a butterfly. You know, I wanted to fly and be a butterfly somehow. And when I was thinking about this project, Let's Bab, that's exactly how, you know, emotionally I was feeling. And in the name, the last three letters of Let's Bab are B-A-B. So the elongated version is be a butterfly. But what they really stand for is the first B is for the buzzing bee, building her social community. The A stands for you as the person who's listening to this has the most important voice in the universe and it matters. And the final B is for butterfly, which is freedom and freedom of choice. And that was directly linked to the isolation and the emotion that I was feeling at the time.
Sure. That's really cool that it sort of came about that way. What would you say is sort of like the app's biggest differentiator from like, say, other e-commerce apps, maybe other apps that people are sort of using in their everyday for shopping and sharing?
So we truly are the first digital mall. When you download the app from the App Store, you will be able to see that our visual display looks like Netflix. And like you go and you pick a movie, in the same way, you go and click on the brand that you want to shop from. At that time, you are in the brand's website. You can shop for yourself. Whilst you're shopping, you can share whatever they have on their full website with your friends and family through the app. And if your friends and family buy from your recommendation, you then earn a cash commission that can go directly into your PayPal or bank account, or you can part donate your earnings in the app as well.
Sure.
And so, it's always best to actually have a look yourself and see how it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I feel like once I started using it, you completely get it. And so I think one of the things that popped out to me when we spoke, you were saying sort of you're democratizing, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, democratizing the sharing space.
Yes.
Because anybody can use it. So yes. Like my husband can go on and share a sneaker link to like a buddy, and then he can either make money from it, or he can donate to charity.
Exactly.
And so that's what's so, I think that's so cool about it.
Yeah. So we, you know, we are Let's Bab are set out to democratize the voice of recommendation. And we believe that, you know, communities, you know, anybody within your community's voice matters. It doesn't matter whether you have 5 friends or 10 friends. Your voice really does matter. And with Let's Bab, anyone can do this. You don't really need to have a social media footprint of following or likes. It's open to everybody, and all household names have partnered with Let's Bab because they also believe that it's time to democratize the voice of recommendation.
Yeah, totally. And I think you and I kind of like touched on this when we first met. It's like sometimes influencer marketing in the Instagram landscape can create this hierarchy, and it's like, your worth is dependent on how many followers you have, which like could not be further from the truth. So I think this app sort of like really hits that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's not about that at all. Like I said, you could have 5 friends.
Yeah.
And, and this opens up the world, you know, for people to be able to share and actually earn money.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll include links so that people can like go and check it out and download it and just like kind of start getting comfortable with it. But basically you can search any product or retailer on there.
Absolutely.
And then from there you can.
And it's not just fashion, it's men's, women's and lifestyle. We have tech and home and flowers and biscuits and all sorts of things to discover on there. So it really is a broad offering on the app.
Very, very cool. So what have been, I guess, some of the biggest challenges with growing your company?
So in any sort of startup, you know, anyone can have a great idea and it's really about getting it off the ground. And I think one of my learnings, despite having done this so many times before and in my own business, has been, first and foremost, you know, you really have to have a really great team, because without the team, there is no dream and it really doesn't get off the ground. Then the other challenges within it has really been that, you know, it really experiences a great, great thing. But when you get into a new project, you have to earn your stripes all over again. And it doesn't mean just because you've done X, Y, Z in your past that this is just going to be a slam dunk and it's going to be super easy. No, you have to earn your stripes all over again.
Sure.
And especially making a transition from shoes to tech, you have to prove yourself all over again in a new industry that you can really make things happen.
Absolutely. And do you have sort of like maybe one tip of advice to someone looking to start their own company?
I would say that be incredibly open to everybody you meet, because whether you're looking for funding, whether you're looking for contacts, whether you're looking for just advice, you never know where it's going to come from.
Yeah. I love that piece of advice. And I feel like it's rang true for me going from New York to London. You're right. You really never know.
You never know. And openness, and never judge a book by its cover, and be incredibly open.
Yeah. I love that. I feel like that's so key. So what are the future plans for Let's Bab? Are you focusing on London growth, global, sort of what does that look like for you?
So we've launched in the US and the UK simultaneously, and on the heels of that, we'll be opening up Europe and Asia pretty swiftly. The vision is big. We want to move into all sorts of areas beyond anything that you can think of that you share with your friends and family that is in your universe. We want to be the platform that people are recommending through.
Got it. So I want to shift back just a little bit to sort of juggling work and personal life. You obviously have so much going on. You're running a company. You're a mom. How does juggling look like for you?
It's pretty mental. it's pretty crazy.
Sure.
And it depends on which age your children are. But obviously it's really harder when they're like 0 to 5 years and, you know, you're also, you're trying to be a good mom and you're looking at their development and their welfare and you're looking at the development and the welfare of the business that you're leading. Because in my world, particularly personally to me, my startups, which I've been always involved in startups, and my child, you know, was born in the middle of me building, or at the start of me building some of these businesses. So, you know, it was an incredible balancing act between trying to, you know, balance the welfare and the development of my child from 0 to 5 and actually trying to develop the welfare of the business from 0 to 5 years.
It's mad.
So it was really mental. Yeah. But I think, you know, you have to be incredibly organized.
That was my next question, is like, specific things or tactics that you use. Is it like Google Calendar? Is it like Notepad? Like, what organizational things do you kind of like do to keep yourself
so
sort of like
I live
sane?
By a calendar.
Sure.
I live by, everything's in my calendar from an operational standpoint. It's like everything goes into the calendar. But I think things like having 10, I know it's a cliche again, but having like a bath with some candles with no lights on and just 10 minutes to yourself a day makes an enormous difference.
Yeah.
And you know, when your children are younger, it's really hard to sit and read and, you know, you end up, and I've enjoyed them. I know every single children's program on TV because I've watched them all with my son, you know, but even in those are not the relaxing moments for you. Mm-hmm. It's just about really taking those 10 minutes out. So whilst you can have all the technology to help you plan your day, at the most important piece of it is just having 10 minutes at the end of the day and 10 minutes at the beginning of your day to yourself.
Yeah, I love that. Just like that
little
bit of self-care.
So you don't go running around screaming and ripping your hair out.
Yeah,
because at the end of the day, whilst all of this is very important, it's about keeping things in perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes so much sense. Okay, before we go, I need to chat with you on your fashion. So when I first sat down with you, you were in this like amazing two-piece like printed suit, like impeccable. Today you're in this like amazing, you told me, like a Reformation sundress.
Yeah.
I love that. So do you order Reformation here?
Yes, I do.
It's so annoying with the shipping costs.
It is annoying with the shipping costs, but I love it so much put aside that I'm actually going to buy a couple of pieces from Reformation.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Today I'm wearing my Charlotte Olympia flats and my Reformation dress, my cult Gaia earrings. Yeah,
those are insane. We're gonna include a link to those too.
And of course, a Fitbit.
Oh, okay, Fitbit. Okay, I'm not on the Fitbit thing. Like, what do you love about it? Like, what's the deal?
Well, first, it actually buzzes when my next meeting happens because my calendar is synced.
Sure.
It keeps me real with my steps, you know, to make sure that I'm staying active.
Yeah.
And it's a real motivational tool for me to stay fit.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I live by it, actually.
That. And it looks like chic with your outfit, too.
Thank you. Yeah, it's rather large on my list. It's called the Iconic.
Okay,
but
cool.
I really like it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Okay, quick question: do you have a personal Instagram, or are you not on social media? Because I'm intrigued. I need to know.
Yeah. So I don't have a personal Instagram, but we have a Let's Bab Instagram, and I do pop up in images.
Yeah.
Through that, so you can find us there. We're on Facebook. Cool. We're on Twitter. We're on all of the channels. So we also post stories. And we're on IGTV and YouTube, so check us out.
That must be amazing not to have an Instagram. Like, I'm like so intrigued by this. You must get so much time back in your life.
Yeah, I think it's a great you know, platform. And but I sort of just appear through the Let's Bab one.
Sure, sure.
And I like that, you know, because it doesn't. You're not having to really actually dedicate an enormous chunk of your day to it.
Yeah, totally. Plus, you're like the brains behind the outfit anyway. It's like you're good. You're in the background anyway. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like this was such a valuable conversation. So thank you so much for taking the time.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
Everyone, hope you enjoyed this episode. If you could please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, it'd be amazing. And we will catch you on the next episode. See ya!